at their place of understanding, they were committed to the community of God. And you can see in this passage that they also were very connected to the community. Because they were traveling back, and it was 3 days before they even knew Jesus wasn't with them. And they weren't worried, because they assumed he was just with the community. When they realized he wasn't here, well, that's another story. We went looking for him. And then Jesus made this profound statement. What were you thinking? You knew I would have to be in my father's house. Jesus had a priority in his life. His parents had a priority in their life. They were connected in their community. They would like to go. Secondly, you see in verse 40 and verse 52 that Jesus advanced in his relationships. Relationship with God and relationship with other people. So there was community and connection, and there was advancement in our Savior's own life. Let those words just mull around in your heart, so we'll even look a little deeper in a moment. And so, as you do that, even where you're, let's just take a moment, let's just pray about this. Let's really want God's word to penetrate and be ready to hear what He may have for us. Lord, your word is given to us, it's a guide for us, it gives us direction. Understand your heart more deeply, helps us understand your will for our lives more clearly. It keeps us from sinning against you when we hide in our hearts. It gives us light when the path is very well clear for knowing. So as we take a few moments and a minute to look at this passage of scripture in relation to other passages and this community of believers, would you open our hearts and allow us to hear from you? Father, the last thing we want them to do is hear from me. So, Spirit, would you already be anointing each heart, each set of ears, each set of eyes, so that the heart may receive, the ears may hear, the eyes may see exactly which you have for us this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Alright, I just want to take a moment. Pastor Charles is gone today, so I'm trying to have a second. I'm not just in the law, so I'm not going to have to walk with too much work. Announcement, my favorite, been lived out and demonstrated in Jesus and his family while he was on this earth. And two of the main key events in this passage of scripture that I want us to focus on, that I want to challenge us with this coming year, 2018, are this. There was connection, and there was advancement. And they did it in community. You've heard the saying many times if you've been in church most of your life, is that no one's an island. You've heard that before? And you know, we burn brighter when we're all tied together as a bunch of logs. And one log, it only lasts so long and it dies out. I can use all these illustrations, but here's the point. God has placed you as a part of this community of believers. And everyone in this community is as important as the next person. You know, there are some unique things that I've learned about this church of being. And a part of what happened in the life of Jesus in this passage of scripture has happened here. Now, young married couples with kids, just live with me, I love you guys, I'm using this example. There have been times since I've been here that parents haven't known where their kids were. So they weren't worried that they were with somebody else. You're connected. And you're not fretting about it. And what God is really burdened by are that we need to expand the understanding of how we connect as a community in order for us to advance together spiritually in the likeness of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus himself, God in the flesh, his life did not remain the same. We knew he grew physically. We've all grown physically. But Scripture has made it very clear he also grew in wisdom and understanding with God and men. His life was continually moving forward. There was continual advancement taking place. He, even being God, in his humanity, needed to grow up. He needed to improve in his life with the wisdom and understanding and the spiritual life in his relational life with one another in the life of community. It's true. And if Jesus had that dynamic true in his life, how much more do we need the truth in our own life? We fail miserably when we do not intentionally connect in community with one another. Now, here's a difficult thing when we do life together in community. I'm just going to say it. Some of us connect better with some other people than everyone. Some of us have our group that we like to connect with a whole lot more than other people. But I'd like to believe that the caravan of people traveling back from Jerusalem wasn't just one group of like age or just one knit group of people. There was a whole community of people traveling together. The younger were looking out for the older. The older were looking out for the younger. It didn't matter who they might be closer to, but they just were together. Yeah. I'm just pulling this just from reading Scripture. You're not going to find that in Scripture. You understand that. But you can gain that understanding as you see how the Word has been given to us. And you had the sense from Mary and Joseph until after 3 days, they were worried. He was amongst them someplace. Amongst them someplace. Being taken care of, being looked after. And as we begin this new year together, the challenge that God has burned in my heart is that we need to focus allowing God to develop us as a community of individuals that connect as a community of believers together, despite our age, our demographics, with kids, without kids, no matter what. If you're worshiping here at Crossroads, if you're part of the CAC community, there needs to be unity that brings us together. I'll tell you a story about a church in Ireland, and I wish I would have thought of this before, I just thought of it now. This church in Ireland, and I'll find it, and I'll actually read it to you, but I have an article to put on my computer. Back in the 1600s, they were so divided as a community of church that what they did, now you've heard of churches having center aisles, right? It usually is like, you sit on this side of the church, and you sit on this side of the church. Okay, what takes place on this side of the church never takes place on this side of the church. Well, this church has so much disunity that they built a brick wall from floor to ceiling down the center of the church. Two congregations, same Sunday, same building, not connected. And sometimes you don't need an actual wall built. I'm not suggesting anything about it, so put the scaffolding away.
object ready to you.
No. That was a literal wall made with mortar and brick. But often we have walls that we don't see that keep us from unity of connecting as a community. And when we're not connecting in community, we're not doing life together, helping us advance to the likeness of Jesus Christ. We need each other desperately to become more like Jesus. What do the epistles say that Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus? That, hey, you younger folks, look to those that have the gray hair. Let them teach and train you up. But what's happened in most churches is that, I'm sorry, but those that have gray hair aren't looked to anymore. And we think we don't need them. That's ridiculous. That's writing your own new epistle. You're not going to find it. But guess what? Sometimes those who have gray hair, some of the younger people really have some good ideas too. And they need to be accepted and heard. And opportunity to have their voice and be part of the community. We don't need walls between us. We need connection between us. So we're connecting more deeply with God, we're connecting more deeply with one another. You see, in order to do this, it's going to take humility, it's going to take surrender, it's going to take a life that puts other people first. I remember a great apostle who wrote about that in Philippians, when he told us to put others before ourselves. And also how Paul wrote in the book of Romans that we are to give our bodies back to God because of all that he's done for us as a living and holy sacrifice. If we're giving our bodies back to God as a living and holy sacrifice, but we're withholding, putting others before ourselves, the sacrifice hasn't been made. They come together, church. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and Philippians chapter 2 tie together. If we're going to give back to God our life as a living and holy sacrifice that is worship, we must also consider others better than ourselves. We must have a life of humility, have a life of surrender, have a life that Jesus lives. We must be willing to wash other people's feet. Maybe washing feet isn't necessary today because we have all kinds of shoes. Some of you have more shoes than closet space. But back in Jesus' day, washing feet was very important. Because if you just walked against the dusty road, you walked into someone's house, your feet were dirty. And the servants of the household got down to clean the dirty feet so they could come in. Who are you serving? Who are you connected with at that level in the body of Christ? We're called to that. That's the life that Jesus lived and was trained all through his time here on earth. When we're willing to surrender ourselves, it allows us to connect with God and each other at a level at which our spiritual life will advance. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life since 1981 that I've been stagnant spiritually and I haven't grown in the likeness of Jesus Christ, and I hated those things. Since 1981, there have been times in my life where I look back, I wish I was there where I used to be with Jesus, because where I'm at right now is miserable. So, We have a God who's upright. You confess.
Let's start fresh.
And our God's love, grace of that is so stunning that he doesn't remember it anymore. I'm done with that now. Do it out here.
Let's advance forward together.
And so maybe you guys can relate to those times. Maybe some of us are at that place right now where the spiritual life with your Father in heaven through Jesus Christ and your community life connecting with one another is something that is just not where it ought to be. It's not helpful. Whether somebody hurt your feelings or the new pastor doing things you don't like or whatever it might be, the longer you hold on to it, the bitter you will become, and the further you will stray from God's love and grace that found you and brought you to himself. And you know what happens to people in the church that get that way? Eventually their seat becomes empty, and you see them no more. Because often, what draws people at first is religion. But what keeps people relationship. You may be drawn because of religion, but it's not about religion, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we have that relationship with Jesus Christ, it calls us to relationship with one another. If you don't like to get along and connect with people here on earth, you're going to hate heaven. For far too long, the children of God have gone about their spiritual journey independently, leading many to give up on religion, as I said earlier, because they don't understand community. It's time that we get serious about doing life together in community as we help each other connect and advance in our relationships. For far too long, the children of God have wandered through spiritual wildernesses, leading them right where they started time and time again. Does that pattern sound familiar to the Old Testament? Wow. Well, that piece of sand looks familiar. I think we saw it 4 years ago. Oh, that pile of rocks. Oh, someone added a rock to see there 6 years ago. Just wandering around. And many in the body of Christ just wander with no direction, with no purpose, with no advancement, and they end up in the same place they started at. They're not doing life in community. They're not advancing in relationship with Jesus Christ and one another. Last year, God birthed within this church a disciple-making ministry. 30 years, I've never been in a church where people said, I'm committed to making disciples. I haven't followed up with all of you, but at the last time, there were 50 people in our church, either in a small group or one-on-one discipleship. Some of you still haven't got there, and you're wandering. It's not too late. But that's just the beginning. That's just how we get started. And throughout this next year, there are two main things that we're going to do as a church. I invite you to join us in that. Each month, we're focusing on one of the one another in the congregation in our morning service. And we're going to present a tool for you each week that you can use to start connecting with one another in a deeper way. Pastor Charles is going to present the first piece today. He's not here, but
we're here. In the month of January, we'll be focusing on praying for one another. Each week, I'll be challenging you to think about prayer in a different way, and then inviting you to put that prayer into action. What if praying for one another was more than just asking God for wisdom, provision, or healing? What if I met you told you something about prayer a few years ago that has stuck with me ever since? He said that the greatest blessing that we can pray for is that someone else will experience the presence of God. So what if praying for one another was more about asking God's presence in their lives, that the Holy Spirit would penetrate deep into their souls where wisdom is inspired, and where provision is trusted for, and where healing is given? As Psalms speaks about the presence of God more than any other book, so as we pray God's presence over them, consider what the Lord says in the Psalms. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human schemes. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Blessed are those who have learned to rejoice in you, who walk in the light of your presence. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Take the next minute and pray one of these psalms for that person that's been in your mind. Pray God's presence over them.
I'm going to leave us in this. Just turn to one person and I'm going to pray, and you pray after me over the other person for God's presence. Can you do that? Find one person and we'll do this. Maybe husband and wife are sitting with them or whoever. So again, just, this is participation also. So that means I will say a prayer and you repeat it after me. Okay? So, dear Father, I pray your presence over this person in the name of Jesus Christ. May each day of this coming year they walk in your presence, knowing you are with them. In Jesus' name.